Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
My greatest sin. I bet you're wondering two things. One, what is Ursula's greatest sin? And two, how does her greatest sin compare to my greatest sin? Is that true? Was anyone thinking that? So it's funny to talk about sin in here because we don't really buy into the whole sin thing. We say sin is a mistake. It's missing the mark. Yeah, you know what I mean, right? When you try to head off in the right direction, but you just end up in the wrong direction. When we think about peace and harmony and all of that beautiful life that we know we're meant to have, sometimes it seems way out there in the greener pastures, you know, by Green Acres. So way out there. And when we're here and we think, no, that's the life I want to create, we do affirmations that we don't really believe. We think, we yearn, we want, we desire, but it just seems so far away. And when I can just say, okay, that's over there, where am I here, and how do I get from here to there? Yes, that's my goal. I can focus on that, but what do I have to know? Where do I have to be? And it's right here in the pile of manure that I'm standing in. And I have to look at myself. I'm not afraid of my darknesses. I'm not afraid of my fears and my doubts, my insecurities, my worries, because here is where I can change. Here is where I can and start walking forward. If I'm true to myself and I'm listening, where am I lying to myself? That's the big one, because we're in this illusion. And if I can wake up from my illusion, I can start moving there. Sinning can be fun for just the moment that that's happening. You know that voice inside your head that says, go on, take it. No one's looking. You can have 5 mints at the end of your dinner at this restaurant experience. And your angel on the other shoulder saying, you only need one. You bought one dinner, 1 mint, move along, share. So it's it. Remember in the olden days, they had the cartoon characters, the angel on the one shoulder and the devil on the other. I do this work called Internal Family Systems. It's a therapy created by Dr. Dick Schwartz. And we talk to different parts of ourselves. So the premise is there's our true self, and then there's all these other parts. And the simplified version is the devil and the angel. When we come to metaphysics and we start studying, the thing that they tell us to work on is our thoughts. Stand Porter at the door, I've been told. The doorway of our thoughts. Which thought's coming in? Which thought will I let in? Which thought is not allowed? Which thought do I like? And with those thoughts is also feelings. What am I feeling now? Is a great question to check in with ourselves all day long. So when we're checking in with our thoughts and our feelings, then we can be here where we are instead of out there or back there in our past and our history books. When I'm listening to my thoughts and feelings, back in the day when I first started it, I discovered this one part. We'll call her the critical part. And you know those sports commentators, you're watching a game and they're on everybody's move, the history of that player, how well he's doing in the season. And you're like, dude, I can see before my eyes that he caught the ball. But he's telling me he got the ball. So this critical part, she's doing the commentary of my life all day long. She would say, you did that wrong. Do those shoes really match that dress? You said that word wrong. You are so stupid. What am I going to do with you? Just keep your mouth shut. Really? You think you can do that and accomplish that in your life? So in the beginning, I was thinking, oh, she's trying to help me. And really, she is. Her intention is, let me point out all of your flaws, and this way you'll be more aware. And when you're with more awareness, you'll be able to correct them. So I was like, okay, more aware of how screwed up I am. Okay. But she really wasn't helping me. She was just making me feel bad. And I thought, she's kind of mean, poking and prodding. And I thought, I don't think I like her anymore. And then as I started settling down and separating myself from her instead of being her, I realized that some other my parts didn't like her either. So I said, you know what? You're fired. Out. And she was gone. And when those kind of parts leave our consciousness, when we kick them out, when they try to sneak back in, when you're feeling vulnerable, and you're like, back out there. When those kind of parts go, those are the kind of parts that are hogging the mic of your mind. And when we're monitoring our parts, it's to say, oh, there's a monologue going on in my head all day long. I'm saying, separate your monologue. It's actually you, the listener, you, your highest self, you, Christ consciousness, you, the Buddha within. And our Buddha within doesn't care. No agenda, no preferences, no likes, no dislikes, just chill. Cool, no matter what's going on, it's cool. Full acceptance, full awareness. It sees all these storylines, but doesn't care. It's kind of like the spectator watching the tennis match. Yeah, we should do this. No, don't do this. Yeah, it's a good idea, we can do it. No, you're gonna fail. Then you'll feel really bad, don't do it. No, you can do it. So instead of being the watcher, say, hey, everybody, I exist. You're not in charge around here, ego. And I'm connected to a higher source, so that's where all the real answers are. But if you guys want to play, go ahead. They're very entertaining once you get used to them and start recognizing them. So now the monologue that's going on in your mind can turn into a dialogue. And that's the biggest difference of our mental awareness, the shift within that can happen. So once I got rid of the critical part, more space was created in my internal world. And I was able to relax more, because if you've got somebody picking on you all the time, now wives do this to their husbands. They think the same thing. I'm just trying to help. But if you're a husband on the receiving end of that, you're like, oh my God, she's doing it again. Mothers do that to their kids. If you were a kid and you had that kind of mother, did it work? No. When we have more space, then these other nice parts can come in. So what? You made a mistake. You're human. Everybody makes mistakes. More forgiving, more compassionate, more kind, and more clarity comes in. One particular morning, I was having a lot of clarity, and I was doing a meditation called Meditation on Twin Hearts by Master Choa Kok Sui. He has a few different versions, and I listen to this one version regularly. And in it, he says, and let us bless the people who are fighting with love and forgiveness and peace. And then he goes on. But this morning, I heard him say, let us forgive people who are fighting with peace, with love and forgiveness. And I'm like, holy smokes, Batman! I'm fighting with peace. I'm fighting with love, and I'm fighting with forgiveness. It's not way out there. It's here. And in my mind, it was like three pillars of light, and all I had to do was step right into it. You know, those beam me up, Scotty kind of light pillars. And I thought, God, okay, what am I going to do? Okay, let me just figure this out right now. And I said, okay, love. Yeah, I'm good with love. I love. I love me. I love my parts. I love people. I love my family. I love everybody. I'm good with love. Peace. Oh, yes, my favorite. I have fought for peace. You know how you have those little angel cards and you pick a card a day and you're like, that's my focus. I had to focus on peace for my year-long word. And then at the end of that year, I'm like, I don't have peace. Okay, next year. focus. Try. Work. Disseminate. Okay. Still not there yet. And then the third year. And by the end of the third year, I finally got peace. And I have an army of parts that protect me from losing this peace. No one, nothing, no even thoughts inside. Nobody can touch my peace because I have fought hard for it. And it is so worth every struggle that I've gone through to get this peace. So I said, okay. And then forgiveness. And I'm like, oh, forgiveness. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like a part jumped over my shoulder and was like, I'm not forgiving. Oh, no, because if I forgive, I could get hurt again. And then this grudge holding, this, I can't forgive. I thought, oh, dear, you know what? And he popped in right between me and my pillar of light. I said, what? I don't know about this. And then I have another part that popped in too. And I'm not Jewish, but this part is Jewish. And she said, you can forgive, you cannot forgive. It's up to you, it doesn't matter. So I thought, oh, this is so easy. I can just step right into it. I could just take this clown by the collar and say, listen, it's time to forgive. We have to just get rid of this. You have to leave, and then I can have forgiveness and then more peace and harmony in my life. And it's just that easy because it's a choice. It's an empowerment. And so I just worked it out, and I moved into grace, and then that came upon me. So as I move through my life and my day, and I work with my parts, and I discover who's thinking now, who's talking now in my thoughts, what's going on here, it's almost like who's driving my bus. Sometimes we get hijacked by a part. A workaholic, I'm in charge, perfectionist, those kind of parts will take over our life. They'll just hijack the bus, have a big guy with a gun standing there saying, I'm in charge. But then yourself, the Buddha self, just sitting in one of the seats and just hanging out. And it's for the other parts to say, no, we really like this one. This one should be in charge. So I do this therapy with many people, and one of my clients is asking me to share her story, and I'm thrilled to share her story. Her name is Suzanne Cook, and she came to me several months ago with a diagnosis of breast cancer. And she said, I was referred to you, I don't know what you do, I don't know who you are, and you know, I don't know about any of this, but I'm in a whole new place right now, and I'm just willing to try everything I can. I've started chemo, and I've got chemo for 5 months, then they're going to do surgery, and then they've got radiation. So here I am. She's a lovely lady. She's a teacher for grade school kids, so, you know, big-hearted, beautiful, kind. She's got a great husband and a daughter in college, so she's, you know, normal life. So I said, okay, this is the model. This is how it works. She lays down. We go into a meditative state, and the first part that comes out was a butterfly or something. So what happens is we have a mental image in our mind's eye, and there'll be an image there, and then we connect with the image and find out what that image has to say, and then that image may lead us to a memory or something that's happened that needs healing. So the first part comes out, butterfly, okay, great. And then I said, okay, what's happening now? She said, this may seem weird to you. And I laughed, and I said, look, I've outdone weird. I am so beyond that anything you come up with would not be weird to me. So she said, okay, well, I feel like a tree. And I said, okay. She says, no, my whole body, I can feel this tree going on inside of me. And I could tell she was worried, like, am I going to be a tree now for the rest of my life? And I said, it's okay. And this part, I thought, oh, this part has such a strong message for her that it said, let me show you how I feel. I'm not just going to talk to you. I want to show you how I feel. And this tree, her cancer was stage 3, by the way. So that's a serious number. This tree said, nobody and nothing is going to knock me down. I am so solid. My roots are planted, my branches are wide, forget about it. We are not going down. This cancer's not going to touch us. So she was like, well, okay then. I'm going to hang out with the tree. And from there, she had a shift in her reality, a shift in her conscience. No doctor was going to scare her. Nobody was going to convince that these numbers and diagrams and test results knew her better than she knew herself. So it was just a matter of her getting to know herself and getting anything out of the way that was interfering with her recovery. She came to me every week, and we found parts, and we worked on parts, and we went down to the deepest dungeon, and she cleaned things out, and she realized her relationships with her family that needed some repair. She had a family session, and she got the clue, like, oh, that's what those are the programs my mom's been running on. Okay. So she got clarity, and then she could come from a place of compassion instead of any kind of confrontation or power over. And she decided, I'm going to quit my job. And her husband said, that's it. Go right ahead. I support you. Because she realized that the lady in charge of that school wasn't living a healthy place, from a healthy place, and that lady's parts were out of control. And she didn't want to put herself in that kind of environment that influences her. She said, no, maybe some of this is what made me sick in the first place. I'm saying no to that, and I'm going to open myself up to a better idea. I don't know what that is, and it's kind of scary, but I can take care of my scary part because I have enough self-energy now that I can take care of all these parts. I'm not going to let worry eat me alive. And her doctors were like, I don't understand why you're so happy still. And she didn't go by the wayside the way many people do in their cancer treatments. So she went to chemo, she did the work that we did together, she ate as healthy as she could, she read stuff, you know, she did all the work that she could. And at the end of 5 months, and even in her tiredness, when you can't drive and get out and do about, we worked by Skype, and she'd be in her jammies and her little hat, and we worked by Skype. So we did pranic healing, which is the energy healing, and the internal family systems, and sometimes we would just process all of the information that was going on with her. And her self-love, her compassion, everything increased. By the end of the fifth month, they have to go in and do a PET scan and find out, has the cancer spread? Have we shrunk it enough? What's going on here? Not a single cell of cancer was in her body. It was completely gone. They couldn't believe it. And that put her in the 3 percentile of the women that were getting the diagnosis of stage 3 cancer. And she knows, and I know, that the work we did, the work that she did, facing this, changed everything for her. And her new job is going to be to go out and share the message that we have power over our whole lives. So getting back to the sins. What is my greatest sin? Listening to the wrong part. Believing the nonsense that some part of me is saying, you can't do this. You're not strong enough. You're not big enough. You can't fight. Who do you think you are? Fire them. And listen to the parts of us that love us. The ones that say, you got this. And if you don't worry. You are supported. Who do you think's breathing your lungs? You're not in charge of that. Who do you think's keeping this world organized? You're not in charge of that. But you've got a line, a lifeline. Use it. Those are the parts I'm going to be listening to. And those are the part. Whatever your greatest sin was, think back. What were the parts that were leading me down that path where I stepped into some junk that I didn't belong in? And what do I need to listen to back out of those negative feelings about myself and who I am and what I am? And get into a place of reality and bring that green acres, greener pastures here and live in it from creating it from the inside out. It's that simple. Thank you. Thank you. going to move into our treatment. So just unwrap your bodies. Settle into yourselves. Becoming aware. There's one power much greater than I, much greater than my Buddha self. My Buddha self is one tiny aspect, one little individual expression of this grand universal energy that has our back. It teaches birds how to fly. My parts have no business thinking they're in charge. Look at the beauty of flowers. What the sunshine can do when we walk outside. How lovely it is to be fully present, to be lost in time. In space. To connect with our breath. The threshold between our physical, our emotional, our mental, and our spiritual. The simple breath. We unite with that greater power. We become that greater power. Dialing in, tapping in, becoming aware. Losing our ego, our attachments, our identity. Discovering the quiet ones in the back of the bus. Putting masking tape on those noisy, obnoxious ones until we figure out what to do with them later. Getting off of the bus and going for a swim. Listening to somebody in a brand new way. Changing our mind for something better. I'm in charge. It's my life. Who cares? Choosing happiness instead of seriousness. Playfulness instead of always responsible. Walking around with an internal grin. We know the secret. And those other parts hiding in the corners, feeling sad, feeling scared. Bring your little candle. Go sit on the floor. Say hi. I know you're in there. I love you. I didn't forget you. I just don't know what to do with you. I love you. I'm so sorry. I haven't forgotten. And just being in a place of peace for them. Let them unwind. Let them uncurl. Unclench. And say, I thought you forgot me. No. I'm afraid of you. But now I'm not. Let's be together. We'll figure it out together. Come to me. The union of us and those parts are like the union of us and our Creator. We can fall in grace, trust, vulnerability. It's so beautiful to connect. So we release all of this with the deepest gratitude, with our hearts wide open, saying yes to the universe. Yes, something better. Yes, I am magnificent. Yes, why not? Who cares? Yes. Thank you.